I implore everybody to donate. First, because WBAI is so important, and I think I know that better than anyone, being here on a regular basis and being a volunteer. And secondly, we're all in this together. There's no separation between human beings at all. What one does affects the other, and we're just in this together, that when one person donates, that means that everybody picks up the phone and everybody donates. So it's a collective endeavor. It's not just one person. We kept the price low because we wanted people to be able to do this. And it's also a new program, and we're hoping to do more of this.
And we were really, I mean, really, I want to reiterate that you came to me and said, I just want to get this out to folks. I think it's so important. I see so many people come into the medical practice, and they just need some relaxation. I want to put this information forward for them, and I thought, let's give it a chance. Folks, you have to respond to her effort now. It's your turn. We have 8 minutes left in this hour. We have to raise $3,000. We did not reach our goal in the last hour, so again, we have to redouble our efforts. Please join those folks on the phone now and make your call of support also. 212-209-2950 is the number. The pledge is just $80. As Teresa said just moments ago, we have kept this to a lower pledge so that we can actually get this in front of you. If you want just the Meditation for Well-Being CD, that's a pledge of $40. But do yourself a favor. Get yourself the real bargain. Get all of this material. You can get both the CD and DVD for your pledge of just $80. Don't forget that what's really happening. That money is going to support this station. That money is going to support volunteer producers like Teresa Palmer, who put forward not only their time, but their money in support of WBAI. That's what she's done today, and I know that you folks will honor that. It's an amazing effort of love. It is compassion. She is walking the talk, folks. She's actually walking the talk. She has done the work and put this forward. 212-209-2950. Some of you have heard Teresa on Armand DeMille's show. She has done programming with him on occasion. She is here today on her own producing a program, but she has produced material as well, which she has also donated to WBAI. That is a great, great service to the station and to all of us. We have five callers on the line, and that just won't get it done, folks. We have four callers on the line, actually. We've got to get six more people onto the phones now. We've got volunteers and staff actually waiting for your phone calls. We know that you will come through. There is one of them. There is the first one. Let's get you on the line. We have got, what do we got, 6 minutes left in this hour? We need to see those phones lit up to let us know that you want this kind of material on WBAI, that you want to hear solutions, that you want to hear about connectedness, that you know that if you go within, that you can make a difference in your life, but you also make a difference in the life of WBAI. Step up. Let us know that it matters to you. I had this conversation with you, Teresa. I had this conversation with another producer. I said, I think that there is something missing from our audience, and it is that there is some spirituality that they are missing, that connectedness. They want to hear that on our airwaves. If that is true, folks, you have to show that now with your phone calls and with your dollars. We asked for six calls, and we got two of them. That means four more people must also pick up the phone and dial 212-209-2950. We will send out to you the Yoga Sutra for Life along with Meditations for Well-Being. My name is Tony Bates. I am in the studio with Teresa Palmer and with Ranjita Sandeep, the creators of this material and the very generous donors of this material for your and WBAI's benefit. 212-209-2950. Show your support. Teresa, you have given this DVD. You have put a couple of meditations on it. Let's go through one more time.
It is now a minute past the hour of 5. It's Saturday, May 22. The station is WBAI. The frequency is 99.5. WBAI, New York. If you're a regular listener to this station, the program that would have just ended would be Labrish with Hapte Selassie. The program you would be hearing now would be Hour of the Wolf with Jim Freund. We will, however, have some more of Tony Bates, our program director here, doing a program alongside Kathy Davis as they attempt, as we are all attempting, to raise funds for this station. WBAI New York is listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio, broadcasting here on the World Wide Web at www.wbai.org and 99.5 on your frequency throughout the tri-state area. We go now to the rebroadcast from May 20 as we attempt to continue with our fundraising drive here. If you can support, we ask you, please do that. A pledge of support keeps us on the air for another 50 years. We've been here since the past 50. My name is Ian Forrest, a volunteer producer here, doing ops duties right now. We go directly to Tony Bates.
Good afternoon, New York, and welcome to another Fund Drive special. I am Tony Bates. I am here in the studio with Kathy Davis, and we'll be bringing some information to you this afternoon that's eye-opening and mind-blowing. I want to start by saying, though, that we really are in need of volunteers here at the station. So if you're in the area, or if you're not in the area, if you have a few hours, please make your way down to WBAI at 120 Wall Street. Call ahead, and we will put you into the computer system, but we certainly need your help to answer all of these ringing phones. Thank you so much. I want to open with a thought, with a quote. There is a huge tacit conspiracy between the U.S. government, its agencies, and its multinational corporations, on the one hand, and local business and military cliques in the third world on the other, to assume complete control of these countries and to develop them on a joint venture basis. The military leaders of the third world were carefully nurtured by the U.S. security establishment to serve as enforcers of this joint venture partnership, and they have been duly supplied with machine guns and the latest data on methods of interrogations of subversives. That's from Edward S. Herman, economist, author, and U.S. media and foreign policy critic. It's very much true, but it hasn't just begun that way. It has been that way for some time. And this afternoon, we're going to bring you some information about that very thing. But from an earlier point in our history, back in the 60s, we're going to look at a DVD today called Dark Legacy, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy. Relying exclusively on government documents, statements from the best witnesses available, and words from the mouths of the killers themselves, Dark Legacy produces a thoroughly substantiated criminal indictment of George Herbert Walker Bush, establishing beyond a reasonable doubt his guilt as a supervisor in the conspiracy to assassinate John F. Kennedy. The filmmaker thinks that if he could present the evidence put together in this film in a court of law in Texas, that they would be obliged to send Mr. Bush away. Don't wait for the lines to start ringing, folks, or the phones to start ringing. Get in while you can get in. This movie is absolutely fantastic. It really puts together a case against Daddy Bush, connecting dots that you didn't know. I learned things in this DVD. It's shocking. For instance, how many of you knew that Oswald was on J. Edgar Hoover's payroll well in the early 60s? Absolutely mind-blowing information in this DVD. We're going to go to a clip from it here in just a moment. This DVD is called Dark Legacy, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy. Please stay tuned.
If a free society cannot help the many who are poor, it cannot save the few who are rich. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
You tend to see John Kennedy as youthful, glamorous, and vaguely progressive. But the day he died, we lost an invaluable treasure. We lost a man of peace who tried to get the American people to see our Cold War enemies not as despicable, inhuman monsters, but as people like us.
No government or social system is so evil that its people must be considered as lacking in virtue. But we can still hail the Russian people for their many achievements in science and space, in economic and industrial growth, in culture, in acts of courage. Our most basic common link is that we all inhabit this small planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's futures. And we are all mortal.
And, though you're probably not aware, you lost the man who saved your life on October 17, 1962. U.S. spy planes had photographed Russian missiles in Cuba capable of hitting Washington and the entire East Coast. Kennedy announced a blockade of Cuba.
This government, as promised, has maintained the closest surveillance of the Soviet military buildup on the island of Cuba. Within the past week, unmistakable evidence has established the fact that a series of offensive missile sites is now in preparation on that imprisoned island.
And Kennedy's generals and advisors were telling him that he and they should slip away to the safety of bomb shelters, attack the missile sites, and then launch a full-scale invasion of Cuba. They assured Kennedy that the Russian missiles were not ready, but that they should all go to bomb shelters anyway, just to be safe, and leave the rest of us out to die. Kennedy thought about it. And then he told them that nobody was going anywhere, that if anyone died, they would be the first to go, sitting as they were in the White House, the prime target of those Russian missiles. And Kennedy suggested that, with this new perspective, they should all work out another, safer plan. It turns out that the generals were wrong. The Russian missiles were not only ready, they were armed with nuclear warheads, which the local commanders were authorized to use if attacked. Kennedy saved the world and you from nuclear holocaust that day, a holocaust that almost certainly would have killed everyone in the Northern Hemisphere. Eisenhower warned us that the greatest threat to American security came from
the military-industrial complex.
And Kennedy heard him. And then he called on the world to strengthen the United Nations organization, to help them not just to rein in the military-industrial complex, but to eliminate it completely. Before he died, Kennedy told the United Nations,
"For in the development of this organization rests the only true alternative to war. And war appeals no longer as a rational alternative. For a nuclear disaster spread by wind and water and fear could well engulf the great and the small, the rich and the poor, the committed and the uncommitted alike. Mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind. It is therefore our intention to challenge the Soviet Union not to an arms race, but to a peace race, to advance together, step by step, stage by stage, until general and complete disarmament has been achieved under the eyes of an international disarmament organization, a steady reduction in force, both nuclear and conventional, until it has abolished all armies and all weapons except those needed for internal order and a new United Nations peace force. And it starts that process now, today, even as the talks begin. Never have the nations of the world had so much to lose or so much to gain. Together we shall save our planet, or together we shall perish in its flames."
What a terrible crime and what a terrible loss to lose this man. And, as we should be, the world is still haunted by our failure to act.
212-209-2950. In that clip, you hear what we lost, at least from the filmmaker's perspective. It is his belief that Kennedy would have been great not only for our country, but for the world. And if, in fact, Kennedy were going to put forward his claims in this speech, a peace race instead of an arms race, well, you know, giant corporations that we were talking about earlier, and certain government agencies lose lots of money and lots of clout. Imagine that, a world where there was a peace race instead of an arms race. And what is the industry that the U.S. spends the most money on at this point? Oh, that would be arms. millions of dollars at stake, folks, if he were able to accomplish this. Kennedy was apparently interested in, and I think also interesting is the clip, in the clip is the fact that during the missile crisis, he sat, and when he was warned that he should get away, he said, if they fire them, we'll be the first to die, because he was determined to use diplomacy to get out of that situation. And we know that it worked into history. But this film, Dark Legacy, absolutely argues it. It's a scathing indictment of all of the connections of George Bush. Interestingly, at the time that Kennedy was in the White House, Bush claims that he wasn't in the CIA, that he actually, when he was appointed, according to the paperwork, he had never actually served. So ask yourself, would the CIA put a chief in place who never had any covert experience, who had not actually worked in the CIA? I find it highly unlikely. The film is called Dark Legacy, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy. We're going to hear another short clip from it, and we're going to come back and talk just a little more about the film. 212-209-2950. The pledge for this film, by the way, is just $75.
On November 22, 1963, the day he was shot, John Kennedy also lost a lot of things. He lost his beautiful wife. He left without saying goodbye to his lovely children. And although we don't think about it much, he lost the ability to have any effect on what the history books would say about him. Napoleon said that history is written by the winners, but I don't think we really appreciate what that means. If I'm rich and powerful, and my thugs murder you, and wipe out your family and all your friends and all of the witnesses, I am going to have much more to say about your history when it is written than you are. The killers get to write history, the victims get written about. And with his murder, John Kennedy lost the ability to have any effect on what the history books would say about him. He became one of the victims who get written about. I wonder what he would say about his killers if he could speak.
Before you rise to the tree, Mark, it appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade route. There's numerous people running up the hill alongside Elm Street, there by the Simmons Freeway. Several police officers are rushing up the hill at this time.
The most shocking thing about the assassination is not the brutality of it. It was brutal, certainly. But the most amazing thing is the way the established media today managed to pretend that there is any question of whether his murder was a conspiracy. We need to understand the images we've been looking at. This is Dealey Plaza, the scene of the crime. This is the school book depository building and the sixth floor window from which Oswald supposedly did his shooting. Abraham Zapruder was standing here with his home movie camera when he took the graphic pictures you just saw of the assassination, the Zapruder film. And this is the so-called grassy knoll. We'll talk more about that in a minute. The official government version of the murder, the Warren Commission report, found that Lee Harvey Oswald fired three shots from the sixth floor of the Dallas School Book Depository building. They tell us that the first shot missed, that the second shot hit both Kennedy and the governor of Texas, and that the third shot, from behind, hit Kennedy in the head and killed him. But common sense tells you that a shot from the rear ought to have driven Kennedy forward, but instead we see him driven backward and to the left. It seems obvious that this shot came from the right front, from the so-called grassy knoll. In fact, all the witnesses near the knoll thought that there was a shot from that direction. These people are standing in front of the grassy knoll, and they are ducking because they heard a shot fired over their heads. The people you see running are running toward the grassy knoll, heroically trying to catch the assassins. If Kennedy had actually been shot from behind, as the government says, he ought to have a small entrance wound on the back of his head. This is Malcolm Kilduff, Kennedy's assistant press secretary, who was with him in Dallas. He spoke to the doctors immediately after Kennedy's death, and then he called this press conference.
Kennedy died at approximately 1 o'clock Central Standard Time today here in Dallas. He died of a gunshot wound in the brain.
He had not yet heard the words school book depository or grassy knoll. All he knew was what the doctors had told him.
Dr. Berkeley told me it It's a simple matter, Tom, of a bullet right through the head.
The doctors had told him that Kennedy was struck by a bullet from the front right that hit him in the right temple, went right through his head, and exited the back. The Dallas emergency room doctors have been unanimous in describing a large exit wound in the back of Kennedy's head.
I was probably looking into a wound that was on the lateral or the side part of the head and the back part of the head.
It would be this portion of the head right here.
Remember, it's like this. That there was a big wound, big deficit in his skull and the temporal parietal area.
If you listen carefully, you will even hear Walter Cronkite admit that the autopsy photos show this large hole in the back of Kennedy's head.
The drawing was approved by Dr. McClellan, one of the attending physicians in Dallas. The drawing suggests what many of the photos examined by the doctors in Nova show, a large wound about this size and location.
212-209-2950. One of your neighbors has discovered that number already and is dialing. Get onto your phones. You can pledge for Dark Legacy, a $75 pledge. The film shows very graphically, folks, how and where Kennedy was shot. And the reports that we got immediately seem different than the reports that we have in the interim. Immediately when you heard the guy giving the press conference, he was just giving what reported. Later, the color commentary comes in about the book depository, the grassy knoll, and all of that sort of thing. This is a 73 documentary. It's split into 9 mini chapters. It makes up about 3 parts. In part 1, it discusses the actual shooting. That's what we were just listening to, and it provides evidence which suggests that Kennedy was not shot from behind, like we have been told from the Warren Report and from other sources, other media sources, but from the front and the side. In part 2, it supposes that the FBI actually stole the body. Now, this is kind of fascinating. When you see this film, it appears that Kennedy's body was actually removed at some point and operated on before the pictures were taken and shown to the public. That part alone is fascinating. I mean, when you see it, it's amazing. When you see the close-up, he appears to have stitches where the entrance wound should be. 212-209-2950, just a pledge of $75. The film is called Dark Legacy, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy. The information is enlightening and frightening. These Bushes have been in it for years, thigh deep in it, in whatever it is that runs this planet. And this DVD illuminates just a little bit more how deeply Daddy Bush is tied to, and you hear about Harriman in this and all of his partners that he was in banking with, somehow tied into this. It's absolutely fascinating to see this evidence. 212-209-2950. We see archived news footage in the DVD. We also see speeches from JFK. We also see the FBI reports, the doctor's reports, and even Mr. Cronkite from that day.
It's amazing. It's only a $75 pledge to WBAI. George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy. The number is 212-209-2950. And this DVD is relying exclusively on government documents, statements from the best witnesses available, and the words from the mouths of the killers themselves. Dark Legacy produces a thoroughly substantiated criminal indictment of George Herbert Walker Bush, establishing beyond a reasonable doubt his guilt as a supervisor in the conspiracy to assassinate John F. Kennedy. If we could present this evidence to a jury in Texas, he would pay with his life. Well, that's what they claim as part of this DVD, Dark Legacy. The evidence is there. You can examine it for yourself. It's only a $75 pledge. 212-209-2950. One of the features on this DVD is the deep history of Oswald, the FBI, and the Bushes. It also features an examination of the single bullet theory and shows how that is demolished. And it also, there's another feature here, 911 Justice, 212-209-2950. Only 2 callers on the line, and we need to fill up this board very quickly. We're going to be offering you this till 3 o'clock, then we move on to our next scheduled program. Please call us at 212-209-2950. 209-2950.
And also, Kathy, I was in the phone room a moment ago, and you know how many volunteers were there? Zero. Ha, amazing. Folks, we really need you to come down here and answer the phone. We have staff members back there at the moment answering phones. We need you. We're going to get back to another clip from this DVD in a moment, but we want to get three more callers onto the phone lines now so that those staff folks can take those phone calls. If you can volunteer, please make your way to WBAI. We will be very busy all day, all night, taking phone calls, pledging, and supporting the station. That's another way to support. It's by being here to answer those phones. 212-209-2950. A $75 pledge for Dark Legacy, George Bush, and the murder of John F. Kennedy.
We're going to hear. Thank you for those calls. Before we go to the clip, I wanted to actually thank Antonio for quick action and bringing food to the station. Today we had donation of pasta, salad, chicken, and I think a vegetable, eggplant, Parmesan. Fabulous. And it is Patricia's Pizza and Pizza of Williamsburg, 35 Broadway in Brooklyn, 11211. And their number is 718-218-9272. So thank you. A shout out to Antonio and Patricia's Pizza and Pasta. Please do support the restaurants that support
WBAI. It was absolutely
amazing. It was amazing.
Thank you so much for that,
like,
quick turnaround. It
wow.
smelled so good.
And it melted in the
oh,
mouth.
Oh, I
so.
Bet it did.
It was good. So thank you. Thank you so much, Antonio. And we are also having a delivery for our dinner. It's coming from Nico Nico Restaurant on 80 Wall Street near Pearl Street. The number there is 212-232-0152. And we want to shout out to Kim, the owner, who is very generous with WBAI.
Thanks,
we want to ask you to support these restaurants as they are supporting you, our listeners, and our drive. We'll thank you again throughout the day.
Can we help to give John Kennedy a voice to write his history as he would have written it? I think we owe it to him to try. Certainly he deserves better than the fairy tale put forward by the government and the history books that Kennedy was brought down by a powerless minimum wage nobody. The truth is nearly the opposite of what we have been told, and it is a textbook lesson in what it looks like when real power kills.
Ordinarily, a unit of military, I think was called a Special Group Number 113, would have come up from San Antonio, Texas, and would have been deployed all through the streets of Dallas, the important streets of Dallas. That was not done. In fact, the commander was specifically told he wasn't needed.
Secret Service regulations require that any time the president's car slows down below 44 miles per hour, the security must be poured on.
You've all seen the picture of the school book building, you know, where Oswald is supposed to have shot the president. You notice in those pictures there are open windows. If the Secret Service had been there and had done their usual job, none of those windows would have been opened. And had anyone opened one of those windows at that time, they would have been on the radio, they would have had a man in that room immediately, and the window would have been closed. You see, that's protection. That didn't take place. In fact, there were no Secret Service people on the ground around Dealey Plaza that afternoon. They were told they were not needed.
President Kennedy was murdered in Dallas. The murder investigation, including the autopsy, should by law have taken place in Dallas. But we saw that Kennedy's official government autopsy was performed instead at the Bethesda Navy Hospital near Washington, D.C., by an amateur who didn't probe any of the wounds, who somehow didn't even see the enormous exit wound that all the doctors in Dallas saw, and who burned his notes when he was done. The Secret Service stole Kennedy's body from the Dallas coroner and loaded it on to Air Force One. And what happened next is difficult to believe. David Lifton has done an extensive examination of the time period between when the body was loaded onto the plane and when it arrived in Washington for the autopsy. He found this report, written by two FBI agents present at the autopsy. The report says that it was apparent that surgery to the head area had been performed before the autopsy started. Surgery to the head before the autopsy? Two FBI agents are telling us that somewhere between the Dallas emergency room and the Bethesda Naval Hospital, someone casually walked up to Kennedy's casket, got out a knife, and began cutting on the president's head? But the Secret Service was all over the president's casket. How could this have happened? Lifton spent his life researching this question, and he found the answer. Lifton interviewed Aubrey Reich of the O'Neill Funeral Home. On the day of the assassination, Reich's job included loading the president's body into a large bronze casket.
I helped put President Kennedy's body in a bronze ceremonial casket on November 22, 1963, at Parker Memorial Hospital.
This bronze ceremonial casket was then illegally taken by the Secret Service and loaded onto Air Force One. But when the body arrived at the Bethesda Naval Hospital, it was removed from a very different-looking coffin by Navy autopsy technician Paul O'Connor.
We opened the pinkish gray shipping casket, and there was a gray body bag, zipped shut. We unzipped the body bag, and the president's body was lifted out of the body bag.
Reich also told Lifton that he did not put Kennedy's body into a body bag in Dallas. Lifton asked him how he could be so certain about what he remembered.
I remember picking him up. I was the one that had the blood on my shirt and everything from the body. If he'd been in a crash bag, he couldn't have got any blood on him because it's a sealed bag.
Now, there were not a dozen men working at Parkland Hospital whose job was to put bodies into caskets. There was one. There were a couple of men at Bethesda who unloaded the president's body, and Paul O'Connor was one. These two men are the best witnesses available who could answer the question. Their word has to be considered the best evidence. No other credible witness has ever contradicted their testimony on the subject. So, if you have any respect for the evidence, as sad a story as it is to tell, it seems that while the president's brother and widow were keeping a sad watch over an empty casket, someone, somehow, performed the grisly task of changing the wounds on the front of the president's body in order to destroy the evidence that Kennedy was shot from both the front and the back.
We now destroyed the evidence. Did you hear that, folks? And that's what I said. He said that it's difficult to believe. It was difficult to believe the first thing. But when you hear the evidence, you have to respect the evidence, as he just said. It appeared that surgery had been performed on the president's head prior to the autopsy. And the filmmaker claims that that was to keep from showing that there was a wound both at the front and at the back of his head, or on the side of his head. And when you see the images, I mean, it's something I've never looked at. I've seen the image 100 times. When you see the images in this DVD, you can see there is a triangular shape where the bullet should have gone in, and it clearly looks like it's been manipulated. It looks like it has stitches in it. 212-209-2950. The film that we're featuring this afternoon is called Dark Legacy. The subtitle is George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy. It puts forward the theory that Daddy Bush himself was the supervisor of the crew who took out the President of the United States. That is amazing. But when you hear the evidence, folks, at first you hear that and you're like, come on now, what are you talking about? But when you see the evidence and the connections that George Bush has and that the Bush family has had for so many years, it is deep. 212-209-2950.
The really amazing thing about this is that they've had this silly theory of this lone gunman, and they've been pushing and pushing and pushing this, but when you actually see the film footage, and truthfully it is graphic, but you see the footage, you see the wounds. If you look at the footage of the actual shooting, I've seen this several times, you'll see the impact of the bullets contrary to what they claim. So this is a way for you to look at this, examine it, and come to an understanding that this assassination was most likely an inside job. It was about power. It was about a transition of power in such a grotesque way. And we're offering you this DVD, Dark Legacy, so that you can examine it for yourself and be able to see for yourself what is true and what is not. You can make that judgment, but the DVD can be yours for a pledge of $75 by calling 212-209-2950.
We will accept your American Express, your MasterCard, or your Visa. And if you want to do that in installment payments, folks, we can do that at $25 a month if you want to make 3 installment payments. But the point is to get onto the phone line now and examine this. You know, I have a great clip that I like to reference, Kathy. It's from a comedian Bill Hicks, who was so brilliant and passed away too young. And he said that people say to him, Bill, why are you still talking about the Kennedy assassination? That was so long ago. It happened so long. He said, well listen, if that's the criteria, don't bring up Jesus to me.
No.
That,
but
the truth
true.
Is, it's still relevant.
It's relevant
because there is a power structure underneath that orchestrated this. The people who were involved in that power structure are still involved in our government today and are still affecting the world, the body politic on the planet. And so we start where they start. We follow them from decade to decade and see how they operate. 212-209-2950. This film, Dark Legacy, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy, is a 73-minute documentary split up into many chapters. It's in three parts. The first one discusses the actual shooting and shows evidence that the story we've been told cannot be. Part two exposes how the FBI stole the body. You were just hearing a clip from that, and how it was removed in Texas, and what happened to Kennedy's brain is also included in that. And it sets up the reasons as to why and how Bush would be connected to the assassination, which we will get to, citing bigotry, racism, and Nazi connections amongst other things. Don't balk at that. Remember that Bush's father's bank was seized during World War II because they were financing the Nazis. 212-209-2950. That is
right.
The phone number to call.
And I think what's important to realize is Dark Legacy, not only does it go into all of these really important questions, the legacy of this act is the world we're living in today, in which power has been corrupted and co-opted so that our checks and balances, governmental checks and balances, are no longer present, and we have really a fascist dictatorship to some degree in this country. And how did that start? How does that fall into play? When you begin to look at the kind of things that were possible and were done, and the kind of lies that were brought to the American people, made it possible for all the subsequent lies, made it possible for George Bush Sr. to be president and George Bush Jr. to be president. And so this is the beginning of a capturing, of a pushing over, of a changing of direction, where John F. Kennedy, though he wasn't the perfect president, he was taking us in a different direction. He was taking us into a direction of prosperity and change and equality. He was fighting the forces of those times, but he was taking us another way. He was taken out by these forces who came in and captured a country. It's not just about the presidency. It's about a country. It's about our very lives today. The DVD, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy, Dark Legacy, for your pledge of $75, 212-209-2950. Thank you for those calls coming in. We are very much in need of support this afternoon. If you can come down and answer phones, it would make all the difference in the world. We're going to continue with this fundraising throughout the day and the evening. We need you to come in and support us as volunteers, and you can do that by calling 212-209-2800. And I say that because those of you who didn't have those phone calls picked up, please be patient. Please call again. Make that pledge of $75 for Dark Legacy, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy.
Kathy, you say he wasn't the perfect president. I think you're mistaken. He wasn't the perfect husband. He was a fine president. 212-209-2950.
We now have some background to take up the momentous question of who shot President Kennedy. This question is easier to answer than you might think. Spotlight magazine published an article citing a memo written by this man, former CIA director Richard Helms, which places this man, an admitted CIA assassin, in Dallas on the day that Kennedy was murdered. The memo says, Hunt was in Dallas the day the president was murdered and was involved in the conspiracy to kill Kennedy. Hunt sued Spotlight magazine for slander and had his day in court. Hunt's explanation of where he was on the day that Kennedy was murdered is a disaster of impossible lies. Over the years, Hunt has given five different explanations of where he was on the day that Kennedy was murdered. Now, the jury found the magazine innocent of slander. Just think for a minute about what that means. The magazine had written that, quote, Hunt was in Dallas the day the president was murdered and was involved in the conspiracy to kill Kennedy, unquote. The jury said publicly that they found that what the magazine had written about Hunt was true. Essentially, they found Hunt guilty of the murder of President Kennedy. Somehow, that story failed to make the papers. But there's at least one story from this trial that should be told. During the trial, the former head of CIA, Richard Helms, testified that Marita Lorenz was a CIA agent known to him and working for them. Her role in a CIA plot to assassinate Castro was the plot of a movie. During the court proceedings, Ms. Lorenz testified that she was part of the CIA's Operation 40, which carried out terrorist raids against Cuba from 1960 to 1963. During November of 1963, she was working with this man, CIA operative Frank Sturgis. She testified that one day Sturgis came and told her to pack her bags, that they were going on a mission. A short time later, she drove to a motel in Dallas with Sturgis in two station wagons full of men and guns. There was a knock at the door, and E. Howard Hunt came in and began passing out maps and money. This was clearly shaping up as an attack not upon Cuba, but upon Americans on American soil. Lorenz told Sturgis, "I'm getting the hell out of here," and took a cab to the airport and flew back to Miami. The next day, President Kennedy was murdered. Sturgis returned later saying, "You should have been there. We made history. You missed the really big one. We killed the president." Again, after listening to all the testimony in the trial, the jury found that Spotlight magazine did not slander Hunt when Spotlight printed an article saying that Hunt had murdered John Kennedy. But Hunt did not have the ability to steal the body from the Dallas coroner, or to steal it again from the Secret Service, and remove it from its coffin, and mutilate it, and then return it without attracting public attention, and he didn't have the ability to get all the media to lie about it.
In all these years, there has not been a single piece of credible evidence to prove a conspiracy.
For the next 40 years. The theft of the body, for example, could only have been carried out by the most powerful devils in the world. Devils so powerful, we would recognize their names if we heard them. Can we connect Hunt to any major league devils? Former President Richard Nixon might be a good place to start. Even though he's not generally regarded as an expert at handling guns, he is portrayed in popular American culture as being a slave to the devil. Nixon chose E. Howard Hunt to lead his private White House goon squad, the so-called Plumbers Unit. Hunt became famous as the head of the Watergate burglars. But after his arrest for breaking into the Watergate Hotel, while he was sitting in jail, Hunt suddenly began sending messages to Nixon that he needed $2 million to keep his mouth shut. At the same time, Hunt started talking to reporters, saying that he was a CIA assassin. To the thousands of people who believed that the CIA had killed Kennedy, this was earth-shaking news. Hunt was threatening to tell about the Kennedy assassination if Nixon didn't get him the hell out of jail and get him $2 million. Nixon sent word to the FBI director that he had to stop investigating Hunt's activities in Mexico. Nixon said that the FBI investigation would threaten to uncover the whole Bay of Pigs thing. The whole Bay of Pigs thing? What is that supposed to mean? Bob Haldeman was Nixon's chief of staff and closest advisor. He wrote, "It seems that in all those references to the Bay of Pigs, he was actually referring to the Kennedy assassination."
Well, that is one powerful DVD. We've gotten a lot of calls. Now is your opportunity, if you didn't get through, to make that call. 212-209-2950. And you've been listening to excerpts from the DVD Dark Legacy, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy. Only a pledge of $75 to support WBAI by calling 212-209-2950. No callers on the line right now, though we had a big flurry of calls. We're only going to be offering this to the end of the hour, so there's only a few moments left for you to make your pledge and to receive as a thank you a copy of this DVD. 212-209-2950. We can accept MasterCard, Visa, American Express. If you want to pledge and break in installments, you can do that up to 3 installments. electronic funds transfer, or ask for an invoice. 212-209-2950.
212-209-2950. That's the number to call. The DVD is Dark Legacy, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy, a 73-minute documentary. And, folks, it's fascinating. You will not be able to take your eyes off the screen. And occasionally your mouth will fall open when you hear certain revelations. One of the things I mean, I'd read this somewhere else before, Kathy, but I don't remember. I'd read that it was two ships. But I know that one of the ships that we hear in this movie again, that George Bush has a penchant for naming things after his wife. And one of the ships that was sent over in the attack on the Bay of Pigs was named Barbara. Just saying.
Oh, wow.
That's circumstantial evidence, but it's very, very strange that that would be the case, and he's regularly named things after her. 212-209-2950. More telling, though, is when we learn in this DVD that Oswald was on Hoover's payroll in the early 60s, well before this assassination. That is something, a little piece of evidence I had never heard. And in the movie, we see the documents to back that up.
212-209-2950. Well, this is the same thing that's reflected as we move forward to some of the other issues with other kind of false flag operations like 9/11, where a lot of the people accused of being those terrorists were actually FBI informants.
Training at FBI facilities.
It really clouds the issue, and I think that this is...
Not for me.
We're looking here at something that this has a very deep history within our country, this subversive kind of behavior, that the President of the United States would actually be assassinated as part of an inside conspiracy. 212-209-2950. And what this DVD does is it brings you actual documents, government documents, statements from eyewitnesses, and many, many other available evidence that you could actually examine within this DVD, Dark Legacy, for your pledge of $75, 212-209-2950. Only one caller on the line, and we're approaching the last 15 minutes of today's program on this particular premium. Don't miss out. Make that pledge, $75 to WBAI, and we're more than happy to thank you with a copy of this DVD. Believe me, it's relevant today, very, very relevant today, because we don't know what the future holds even now. We don't know what dark conspiracies are happening behind the scenes.
What we do know is that the Bushes are likely involved if they are happening, because they have been involved since the turn of the century, or the turn of the last century.
212-209-2950. Thank you for those calls. Don't miss out. Make that pledge. $75 is a reasonable offer for a radio station as important as this one that you're listening to, WBAI, 99.5 FM on the radio dial, and WBAI.org on the web. You'll be going back, but keep those calls coming in at 212-209-2950.
Kathy, we have room for about four more calls. We can get four more people onto this line. We're going to hear one more clip from this DVD, but let's get four more people. The pledge is only $75 this afternoon, folks. The DVD is absolutely eye-opening. It is absolutely riveting. It will hold your attention. It will thrill you. It will surprise you. 212-209-2950. Make that phone call. Pledge your support to WBAI. There are two of those callers. Let's get the other two to also dial up. 212-209-2950. Pledge your $75 and pick up a copy of Dark Legacy, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy. And you folks know where these Bushes come from, who they are. We're waiting for one more person, and we're going to hear a little bit about Skull and Bones and how they're connected to this whole thing. Very interesting stuff, but we need that phone to ring first. 212-209-2950. There's that phone call. Thank you very much. Michael G., please give them that clip 8.
But at the center of Bush's connections to the world of secret murder and filth is his membership in the Secret Society of Skull and Bones, a secret Yale fraternity famous for its celebration of racism, robbery, and death. This tomb is where they meet twice a week to engage in black rituals involving skulls, candles, and secret oaths. It's supposed to unite the members in a special, creepy way. Brothers under the skin is how the Bonesmen themselves describe their relationship. Their graduates are a powerful bunch of devils. Averill Harriman and Prescott Bush were Bonesmen. George Herbert Walker Bush was a Bonesman, and so was his grandfather, the arch-racist George Herbert Walker. Robert Lovett, architect of the CIA, was a Bonesman, selected for membership by Prescott himself. F. Truby Davison was also selected for membership in 1918, the year that Prescott did the picking. Davison was in charge of hiring for the CIA in 1948, the year that George Herbert Walker Bush left Yale in search of a job. Davison had a son, Endicott Peabody Davison. Endicott was Skull and Bones, class of 48, making him brother under the skin to George Herbert Walker Bush. He's also the Bush family lawyer. Okay, they're weird and creepy. Or not. Maybe in 1,000 years this secret male bonding will be a mainstream practice in group therapy. I don't know. Maybe they don't do it anymore. Maybe they never did it. I don't really care. It's not the point. The point is that no one will dispute the fact that Skull and Bones is an intimate organization whose members have very close relationships with each other, who work with each other throughout the rest of their lives, and who are very loyal to each other. Prescott chose Truby. He had a close relationship with him. Truby went on to become the head of hiring for CIA. George Sr. was a brother under the skin to Truby's son. George Sr. had a close, even intimate relationship with the son of the head of hiring for CIA. Their fathers had a close, even intimate relationship. What we are supposed to be doing here is trying to evaluate this message from Hoover. We are trying to judge the likelihood that this memo, referring to a CIA supervisor of anti-Castro Cubans named George Bush, is referring to our George Bush. Certainly, all this evidence about Skull and Bones and the CIA makes it certainly appear very possible, even likely. In a world where personal connection is everything, no one could possibly have a closer personal relationship to the head of hiring for CIA than George Herbert Walker Bush. Bush's first job on leaving Skull and Bones was to work for Neil Mallon, brother under the skin to Prescott, class of 1918. In a letter to White House aide C.D. Jackson, dated March 26th of 1953, now Senator Prescott Bush described Neil Mallon as a very old and dear friend. I might say that Neil Mallon is well known to Allen Dulles and has tried to be helpful to him at that agency, especially in the procurement of individuals to serve in that important agency. So, George went from Skull and Bones. He went directly from being a brother under the skin to the son of the head of hiring for CIA to working for a recruiter for CIA. You couldn't ask for more powerful evidence that our George Bush was in the CIA when Hoover said that he was. But you can get it. This letter records a meeting between Prescott Bush, George's CIA-promoting father, Neil Mallon, the CIA recruiter, and Allen Dulles, the director of CIA, to discuss, quote, our pilot project in the Caribbean, unquote. Now, let that sink in for a moment. Here you have the two most important men in George's future professional life, his father, Prescott, and the man who trained George in the oil business, Neil Mallon, meeting with the head of the CIA in order to coordinate with the CIA their future plans in the Caribbean. Prescott and Neil Mallon's plans had George at their center. George was their pilot project in the Caribbean. The terrorist raids of Operation 40 involving Hunt, Sturgis, and Marita Lorenz were the CIA's private project in the Caribbean. This letter, then, not only ties George to the CIA, corroborating the Hoover memo on that point, it not only ties George's future oil company to the CIA's plans in the Caribbean, but it thereby ties George to the CIA's misguided anti-Castro groups mentioned in the Hoover memo, which was the CIA's pilot project in the Caribbean.
That was the CIA's pilot project in the Caribbean. See how deep it gets, folks. The Bushes have been running this thing from the background for that many years, and they are still deeply, deeply involved. That was a clip from the film Dark Legacy, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy. It is a 73-minute documentary. It is split into three different parts. It is one disc, but it's broken up into three parts. In the first part, we look at the actual physical evidence surrounding the shooting and the odd cover-up involved with the removal of the president's body. That's in part two. And when you see it, I mean, it sounds very odd just to say that somebody stole the body, but it went into one casket, a bronze casket or a presidential casket, came out in a pinkish-gray casket. On the other end, how does that happen? And the body appears to have been surgically altered prior to the autopsy. Amazing. And then we get into the Caribbean where the CIA's project is, and we see Bush's fingerprints all over that too. 212-209-2950 is the phone number to call. We have just 10 minutes left in this hour. Folks, we are only about halfway to our $3,000 goal. That means we need to get these phone lines going. We have to raise that money during this hour. We do it to support WBAI. We're going to send you out a DVD to watch that is absolutely mind-blowing. Dark Legacy, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy. So begin to make those phone calls now. We're going to make way for Hugh Hamilton in only moments, but we want you to see this material too. Get a copy of the DVD, and your funds go to support WBAI. I'm going to say the number slowly again so you can actually begin to make that call. 212-209-2950. There you go. Get started, but don't stop. Everyone make that phone call and check out this phenomenal DVD. This guy has tied the evidence together in a way that I have yet to see. And I've learned stuff that I really didn't know. And I've seen the information put together in a way I didn't know. I didn't know that in the background. And actually, as you learn also in the DVD, George Bush claims not to have even been associated with the CIA during those years. Huh. 212-209-2950. We only have three callers on the phone, and we have 8 minutes to go, and we need to raise another $1,500. That means, folks, we need you to dial double time. 212-209-2950.
Only $75 pledge to support us, this radio station, WBAI, and we'll thank you with the DVD Dark Legacy, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy. 212-209-2950. This is a DVD that has a number of features, has a lot of very real evidence. I mean, you can use that pause button and get close to the TV and look at the actual written evidence. I have also, like right now in my hands, a piece of the evidence from the DVD, and it's a memo, November 29, 1963, from the Director, Bureau of Intelligence and Research, Department of State, from John Krieger Hoover, the director, John Hoover, the director. And we have this memo on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, November 22, 1963. And that's the level of evidence that this particular DVD is based on. It's actual evidence gathered, I would imagine, from the Freedom of Information Act, as well as other sources and testimonies. So you're able to really look and examine what did take place. How is it possible that the President of the United States could be assassinated? And what was the involvement of George Bush, the Bush family? I mean, this is the same family, mind you, that had a plane for the family of Osama bin Laden to fly back, to be the only plane allowed in the sky to take their family back to
wherever they were going, they on 9/11 or 9/12.
So they were able to be freely moved. This is the same family we're talking
now,
about.
Now, remember, they were also business partners with those same bin Ladens.
Very so. True. 212-209-2950. Thank you for those calls coming in. We can do more.
We must do more.
6 minutes. In 6 minutes, this break will be over. Don't waste this time. Make your phone call. Make a pledge to WBAI. 212-209-2950. And maybe you can make this out. My eyesight is not so great in this dark. 212-209-2950 is your number to call. Thank you for those calls coming in. Please be patient as our volunteers get to you. Remember that we do need volunteers this afternoon.
Holy cow, do we.
If you can make your way down to the radio station, that is such a wonderful way to be able to support us through your time and energy. 212 212- 209-2950. Call that number to pledge. If you want to come down and volunteer, call our switchboard at 212-209-2800. 212-209-2950. We're featuring Dark Legacy, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy.
212-209-2950. That's the phone number to call, folks. It's the phone number that feeds this very station, WBAI, who will continue to bring this kind of story to expose this kind of connection. When we saw George Bush Sr. get into office, it was so odd. He seemed to come from out of nowhere. And yet, if you really look at the history, his father was deeply involved as well, even at the foundation of the CIA. So it is not so odd that his son would be deeply involved. The men who began that organization when it was the OSS, those folks all are still satellites around Mr. Bush. 212-209-2950 is the number. A pledge of just $75. Your money is going to go to support WBAI, and we thank you very much for your generous calls and pledges. We want to ask you also to be patient with us as we try to get to your phone call. We have a few folks back there answering phones, but we also have an antiquated phone system. And when we put you on hold, we pick up the phone, we simply pick it up, and we lay it back down next to us. But do not stop. We have just 4 minutes left in this hour, and we're trying to get to our goal of $3,000 for this hour. We know that we can do it. We know that you are there. Step up to the plate and support WBAI. Keep this station on the airwaves and empower us to continue to produce the special programming that we produce that is like nothing else in the media that you consume. 212-209-2950, just a pledge of $75.
That's right, and it's $75 that is so well spent when you support this radio station that is willing to tackle these issues, to challenge what you might hear on the mainstream, to challenge that droning status quo that we hear from our mainstream news media. We do it in so many ways here at WBAI. We're asking you to just look at the evidence, make your own judgments, look at the evidence. This DVD is an incredible accumulation of research, of pulling together testimonies, of video visualizations. It just really shows you how the official story just simply does not add up. 212-209-2950. In these closing minutes, make that phone call to 212-209-2950. We can accept your credit cards, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, electronic funds transfer, an invoice if you want to send a check or money order. But please do support this radio station, and I promise you, you will be fascinated by this DVD, Dark Legacy, George Bush and the Murder of John F. Kennedy.
Kathy, we have 1 minute left, and we want to see if we can get five more callers on to that line. 212-209-2950. Five more people. Help us to get there. Help us to support WBAI. It is a nominal pledge of just $75. Your donation goes a long way to keeping this station on the airwaves. In this DVD, folks, there's the first one, Kathy. In this DVD,
absolutely,
you're going to hear about Hoover's knowledge of the assassination, Nixon's apparent knowledge of the assassination. You're going to hear about Oswald's connection to the FBI, which is fascinating, all in this DVD, a 73-minute piece, just about 30 seconds left. We got two of those five calls. Can we get the other three of you to call 212-209-2950? Pledge your $75 in support of WBAI, in support of exposing these people that secretly run our world from behind the scenes. There's the third one, Kathy. We're waiting for
two more of you
people.
To call and show your support this afternoon. 212-209-2950. Thank you for these calls as they're coming in, and we are bridging the gap moving into the next program. Thank you. Keep the calls coming at 212-209-2950. And as we depart, I want to once again remind you we do need volunteers very much. Call our switchboard, 212-209-2800. We're at 120 Wall Street on the 10th floor. And I want to also thank our food coordinators, Lumiere and Vanya. And through them, we thank Antonio for bringing us our lunch from Patricia's Pizza and Pasta of William.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members. And you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. If you missed any part of that program, you can hear it by going to WBAI.org and going to the archives. And Hour of the Wolf with Jim Freund will continue to be preempted this week, so we may bring you this rebroadcast. So stay tuned.
Show on WBAI 99.5 FM, and this is not Ralph White today. This is Adiseli Brown from the New York Open Center, now in its 26th year. We're located at 22 East 30th Street between Madison Avenue and Fifth Avenue in Midtown. The Open Center is the largest urban holistic center in the country, and we present about 500 programs a year, lectures, workshops, professional trainings to conferences, leading topics on inner life, and the changing planet. The Open Center's mission delivers the most up-to-date information from leading speakers from around the world who can speak on anything you can think of, basically, political, spiritual traditions, environmental concerns, and our conferences gather audiences from around the world, the most unique and most beautiful locations on the planet, and scholars who explore the inner wisdom of century-old traditions and their relevance to the world today. Now, today on our show, we have Letha Haddadi, who is a certified acupuncturist and who studied at the Tri-State Institute of Traditional Chinese Medicine and also at the Acupuncture and Meridian School in Shanghai. She is an adjunct faculty member at the Beatrice Renfield Center for Nursing Education at Beth Israel Medical Center and also a faculty of the New York Open Center. She's also part of the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens. Her continuing education workshops offered through Continuum Health Partners reach about 6 New York City hospitals. She also teaches Chinese herbal medicine at the Academy of Healing Nutrition and leads workshops throughout the city. Now, she's been sort of called the Martha Stewart of herbs, and Letha has several books on Asian foods and herbs, on health and beauty issues. One of her titles is The Asian Health Secrets, The Complete Guide to Asian Herbal Medicine. And another title, Health Beauty.
Healthy?
Healthy Beauty, sorry about that. Her latest book is Feed Your Tiger, specifically on weight loss. And she will be speaking about those topics today. The book is filled with delicious recipes, Asian superfoods, and just she'll elaborate more on that. But welcome, Letha.
Hi, Araceli, and hello, New York, and everyone listening to BAI Radio 99.5 in New York. New Yorkers and everywhere around here from as far away as Florida and Vermont know me as the lady who leads walking tours to Chinatown through New York Open Center, or otherwise known as that blonde who shows us the squiggly things and explains what they're for.
That's right.
In the shops in Chinatown so that we know what to buy besides chop suey.
That's right. They're sold out, and you go to Chinatown, Koreatown.
Yeah. Mm. And it's a lot of fun. We went to a little Koreatown yesterday and looked at shops and all sorts of things. A beautiful museum on 32nd Street, and also we ended up in a dumpling parlor, as we usually do on my walking tours.
Oh, fantastic. Now, what is the benefit there? You work with a variety of Eastern medicines. For example, it's Chinese, there's Ayurvedic, mm-hmm. there's Tibetan, and they all seem to us like in a big clump, and it's very complicated, and many of us go to practitioners. But
you'd be surprised at the Asian herbs that you use every day, like cinnamon. Cinnamon, we know in our cappuccino, but in Asian medicine, it we use herbs according to their energy, what they do to our body. And cinnamon makes us perspire a little bit. So we take it in the summertime to sweat out the heat. We take it in the wintertime to sweat out the cold and to ease our pains and to enhance our circulation. So that's a major difference between Eastern and Western approaches to health. With a Western approach, we wait till we get sick. We go to the doctor and he says, take this drug or let's give you some surgery. And with Eastern medicine, we want to prevent not only illness but discomforts, everyday discomforts with foods, with herbs that affect our body in ways that make us feel more comfortable, more strong, more confident, and more safe.
Now, my idea about your work with Chinese medicine, Letha, is that you demystify the whole practice to the American mind.
Yeah.
Because it is a complicated issue. Most of the time when I go to see someone in Chinese medicine, it's basically they work on you. They really don't give you much of an explanation.
They don't speak much English sometimes
either. It's a language problem, basically.
Yeah, there is. And especially when you go to someone who has freshly come from Asia, they are not used to explaining their tradition to people who are inquiring. They take your pulse, they look at your tongue, they might give you acupuncture or give you an herbal prescription, and they have confidence, and usually their patients in Asia also have enough confidence not to ask questions.
Well,
so we do.
Unlike a New Yorker.
That's right. Unlike us who want to know, dot all the I's and cross all the T's and what's this going to do and how long do I have to take it and how much and all of that.
Well,
so that's why I have to write these books to explain the tradition, to recommend the types of herbs that are useful, but also to say when your condition changes, change the herbs because your body has changed, you have changed, and you have to change the prescription too. And what kinds of signs to look for to know whether it's going in the right direction or the wrong direction. This is why I have a chapter on tongue diagnosis, looking at your own tongue in my book, Asian Health, my first book, Asian Health Secrets.
How difficult is that?
Pretty easy, because every time you talk to somebody, you can sort of glance at their tongue
and
see.
I see a lot of white stuff on mine, or
white
red.
Stuff and red, they're different. If you have a heavy coating on the tongue, it means you're having some digestive problem. Maybe you're eating something that's too rich and too fat, and it's going to make you feel logy. And avoid it in the summertime because it's going to make you feel sleepy and icky. If you're eating something that's going to give you a white coating on the tongue. If you have a very red, dry tongue, you might have thirst. You might have chronic thirst. You might have inflammation. You might need to eat some more cooling green foods like bitter salad greens. And summer is a great time to have berries and cherries because they have a lot of iron and a lot of nutrition that's going to build our blood. Uh-huh. And that will also normalize your tongue. I have a website, AsianHealthSecrets.com.
Right. Uh-huh.
And at that website, there's an article called Your Tongue. And it has pictures. So
fantastic.
You can look at the pictures and see what kind of tongue you have.
Okay. The thing I like is your books are very easy to read, and they are sort of chock full of so much information.
It's because I've lived with this tradition so long, and I've translated it into my everyday use, and I've gone away from the technical language that people don't understand anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't talk about too much about qi or about jing or about yin and yang, because that's particular
well,
to...
It's very esoteric, and after a while...
Well, it's particular to a tradition, and I don't want to make build fences.
I
want to open up the field so that people can say, oh, yeah, that sounds like me, okay.
Well, that's a big thank you coming from me, too. One of the things that maybe most people don't look at, but one of the problems I always have is green vegetables and eating them and keeping them up, and they're very cleansing for the body, and they keep, you know, disease
mm-hmm.
away. But one of the things I love about your book is you mention chlorophyll.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a simple thing. They come in little capsules, little liquid, but you address it in a very, very direct way and how to take it over time and what it does. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Chlorophyll, from all the green plants that have chlorophyll in your garden, the green plants that are full of chlorophyll also make oxygen. They mm-hmm. turn the atmosphere, our poisons, into oxygen. And in our body, it gives us oxygen as well, because the green, the chemical substance that is from green plants is very similar to our blood, and our blood carries oxygen and vitality and rejuvenation throughout our entire body. So everything green that we eat is ultimately building our blood, our bone marrow,
mm-hmm.
and that's the reserve. That's where our hair comes from, our skin, and our bones and our fingernails, all the stuff that we see come from our blood.
What does it do to digestion? Like, if you were to take it, like, on an everyday basis, you have certain...
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Now, some people need it every day because it's healthier to be more alkaline, for the body to be more alkaline. That means you have less acid burn, you have less chronic hunger, less thirst, less inflammation. Like, you don't feel hot all the time, or you don't feel dry all the time, because your body has the moisture it needs to fight off illness and
mm-hmm.
to feel good.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a variety of things in the book, which is called The Asian Diet Secrets for Permanent Weight Loss and
Feed Your Tiger.
Feed
Your Tiger.
Right, that's
the name of
subtitle.
The book.
But, you know, Feed Your Tiger, people are like, Feed Your Tiger. Now, why the word tiger?
That's a good question, because a lot of weight loss books are about don't eat this. This right. is bad food. And I wanted to get away from the shame and the blame of food mm-hmm. and go in a positive direction because we want to feed our vitality. Feed your tiger. The tiger in us is always hungry. And when we feed this with the right kinds of foods, spices, we can eat less, we can enjoy more, and build our energy and vitality and our metabolism better mm-hmm. than saying and thinking to yourself, I can't eat this, I can't eat that. That's a downer. It's really depressing to think, I can't eat this anymore. So I give substitutes in my book, Feed Your Tiger. I give substitutes for certain foods that are pleasure foods for some people. Like I have, I just finished a class at the New York Open Center called Cooking for Health. And at my second class, we talked about sweets that had no sugar. And I gave samples of my no-bake brownies, which I whipped together in a bowl. And it takes 10 minutes, and it's a brownie with no sugar and no salt, and it's sweet and delicious, and it's full of high fiber foods and cocoa.
What makes it sweet, though? Because the first thing
the
that comes in
does,
is...
Yeah. The cocoa does. And what else? What are the ingredients? A little bit of a all-fruit jelly.
Ah, okay.
So it's all fruit flavors.
Okay, so... one of the things that a lot of people deal with, which I find when I went to an acupuncturist myself, I brought up the words yeast and candida, and mm-hmm. it was like...
They didn't know.
No.
They didn't know.
I know they deal with it, but it's not something they relate to in
English language.
It's not a
concept that they know because it's an illness that has been sort of created in the West because of our use of antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a result of our use of antibiotics. And in Asia, they don't use Western antibiotics as much as they do herbal antibiotics, which don't lead to yeast infections. So it's sort of an American sort of thing.
Oh, that's why.
And for one thing, but also because they're used to talking in terms of what the yeast infection does for you in your body. It might give you a stickiness, a phlegminess, a fatigue, a bloating, a gurgling stomach. All of those symptoms is what they'll think about. They won't think about that means yeast. So they'll give you herbs and foods and treatments that will get rid of those symptoms. And they won't necessarily say, hey, stop eating fruit.
Right.
But I will, because I'm an American.
You know.
I know. And I've written about it and met many people who've had yeast infections because of antibiotics and other... you can get it after pregnancy, after surgery. With extreme exhaustion, you can get a yeast infection, too, and you can get it sexually. So if you have a yeast infection and you know what the symptoms are, like... for women, sort of a yeasty kind of discharge, vaginal discharge, and discomfort, bloating discomfort, irregular periods, all of these sorts of things, and a low-key depressed feeling, I'll say it's time to take a few days, just a couple of days, and kill the yeast. Mm-hmm. And my favorite simple home remedy is Australian tea tree oil, which is antibacterial,
okay.
antifungal, which is a yeast. And you take one drop in a cup of hot water, not like what we have here, the styrofoam cup,
because it'll eat right through it.
But you take your ceramic cup or your glass, mm-hmm. and you put hot water in it, one drop of Australian tea tree oil, and drink it, or rinse your mouth with it. Rinse your mouth with it after you brush your teeth, and that's going to kill all kinds of germs, bacteria, viruses, fungus. And you do that for a few days, but at the same time, you limit your diet. You don't have sweets because sugar is what the yeast grows on. If you were baking bread, you'd have yeast growing, and you'd add a little sugar to make it grow more. So you eliminate your fruit. You have more vegetables, and you have a protein that's a protein that agrees with you, maybe eggs or fish.
Right.
You might have rice cakes. That's not leavened. There's no yeast in that.
Mm-hmm.
And you take 3 days, and you kill your yeast, and you feel much clearer and brighter.
Yeah,
I know when I need it myself.
Uh-huh.
When I walk into a grocery store and the smells and the sights and the sounds of the grocery store make me dizzy and I get like, woo, the room sort of spins and I think, it's time to kill my yeast. So I have a drop in a tea or coffee of Australian tea tree oil and it clears my head, clears my senses immediately.
Well, yeah, the foggy brain syndrome and all this kind of stuff and all the stuff that came out, I guess, in the 80s with chronic fatigue and all these things.
Epstein-Barr,
which is one of the things I've had. Just brings your whole immunity
down. It brings your vitality down,
yeah.
And also your enthusiasm. And so I found that women and men who have chronic yeast infections also feel like they're overcome. They're mm-hmm. overcome by their environment. And that's the feeling I get when you walk into a store or into a shop and you just, your senses become blurry. So you use the Australian tea tree oil and the change in the diet for a couple of days just to clear up your senses and your thinking.
Uh-huh. So, well, you know, you do a lot of work with hospitals and doctors.
Mm.
And
I teach nurses. I have a client I'm going to see this afternoon at New York Presbyterian because there are a few doctors in New York and out of New York who are really involved in cutting-edge medicine,
mm-hmm.
that even stem cells.
Right.
I'm involved with that. If you look at my website, AsianHealthSecrets.com, you'll mm-hmm. see that I have some articles on the use of stem cells, our own stem cells, that can replace hip replacements and knee replacements, joint replacement surgery, because we're growing our own cartilage. We can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at experimental stages in this country, more advanced in other countries. But there is a lot to be shared and a lot to be learned between the allopathic, the Western doctors, and the natural doctors.
But you teach nurses about...
Nurses are among the most exhausted people on the planet. They work 12-hour shifts, and they
yeah.
go home, and they cook for their family, and
That's
they fall
true.
Into bed, and they go, ugh.
Oh, I know.
And then they, not only that, but when they're tired, and they are more prone to catch illnesses. And even if they don't get sick, they imagine that they're sick, because
oh.
they're dealing with sick people all the time. So
yeah.
I help them. There's a class that I teach... probably will be teaching again in the fall,
mm-hmm.
Called Asian Health Secrets.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on my first
right.
book. And it's how to build your immunity and your energy. And it's very simple. Like those of you listening right now who are thinking about, gee, I need some help with my energy. I'm going to, after I feel better, I'm going to donate money to BAI so that they can stay on the air. I'm reaching for my wallet,
this is very
but
true.
I don't have the energy yet. But here's a tea that will help you. It's called olive leaf tea.
Ah.
It's the leaf from the olive. And we all know olives and love olives because they're sort of salty and
yeah.
they're full of sodium. But the leaf is tremendously healthy. It goes way back to the Bible times.
Right.
And it's antibacterial. And it also raises your immunity and your energy, so it's good for chronic fatigue as well as chronic infections. Olive leaf tea.
Olive leaf.
You can get it online. You can buy
it. You get it online because I don't really see it in stores anywhere.
No, not so much. Not even in health food stores so much. But
why is that?
It's not so discovered. I like to find things and tell people about things that are just not so known or creative ways to use foods that they might already have at home.
Okay.
Like seaweed is another thing I love. There's an article on my website called Romancing the Ocean, and I introduce my readers to the Seaweed Man,
That's
seaweedman.com,
right. uh-huh.
and he's in Maine, and he harvests seaweed,
uh-huh.
and seaweed, like chlorophyll, is what we're made of.
Right.
All the minerals in seaweed
mm-hmm.
Make our bones strong and our blood healthy.
Well, Letha, that sounds fantastic. Now, we did an interview with you, and... we had a fantastic time, and I wanted to really play one of our points from that disc on cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you detail in there lymphatic drainage and how basically a complicated word, but it's really about how to do a massage so you can get all your lymph nodes, which is the area in the body that I understand accumulates a lot of toxicity, and if it doesn't get cleaned out,
mm-hmm.
then you start to develop things like cancer. And
it's one of our last reservoirs of impurities in the body. That's where the poisons go when they can't leave the body. They get stuck there, and that's why we have water retention and cellulite, and those, and we feel logy because our lymph system is not clean, and we are more easily fall victim to infections and illness.
So that's fantastic. So I want to play that piece, and we can go to that now.
You're going to be giving this
right
tape,
now.
Aren't
I'm
you?
Teaching.
Yes, we're
going to
be.
Yeah. At the Open Center Cooking for Health. And it's been a lot of fun because I've been able to engage other people's enjoyment of food and herbs, their favorite recipes, and transform them into a healthier approach to eating.
So if somebody were to take one of your legendary walking tours of Chinatown, what could they expect to discover?
Well, we'd meet at the Open Center, and I'd introduce the subject a bit because even though we live in a very rich, diverse, many ethnic cultures here in a melting pot here in New York, much of it still remains a mystery. So to introduce Chinatown, to introduce Koreatown, another of my walking tours, we have to understand what's here and why it's here. why people have come and why they have brought their culture with them. They've brought their foods, they've brought their language, and this is what we find on the streets of Chinatown or Koreatown or Little India, is the delicious flavors, the aromas of the spices, the saris, the beautiful clothing, the pearls and the gold and the silk in Chinatown. These are the pleasures that bring us to another culture, that engage us in travel and to broaden our own horizons, because pleasure is what draws us. Also, fear of illness and the respect for longevity that the Asian cultures have. Because of everyone's fear of illness, we're interested in how another culture can help us. If they have foods and herbs that keep us well, that protect us, that give us the vitality, the beauty, the energy that we all want, then this is should be an open secret, a secret that we can share.
Well, there's so much wisdom in the world of Chinese medicine. Many people don't realize that it's practiced on an enormous
yes,
basis.
Yes, all throughout Asia and here and Latin
yes.
America.
After Western conventional medicine, it is the most popular form of medicine worldwide.
And there's been a tremendous exchange. I'm involved in really cutting-edge research now. In America, we were delayed with stem cell research. The Chinese have forged ahead with stem cell research faster than us, and Germany and a couple of other countries in Europe are doing stem cell research. And I'm involved in personally in using stem cell injections for arthritis and promoting this as the new alternative in orthopedic surgery, the new alternative that, combined with herbs and foods, will hopefully replace joint replacement. Because when you use the body's own vitality and own energy and own building materials to become well, you save yourself tremendous stress and illness. Many of the drugs that we use, many of the surgical procedures that we use are rejected by the body because they are foreign. But when we use our own blood, our own stem cells, our own bone marrow, when we incorporate foods that we digest, that we enjoy, this gives us a tremendous advantage for our health.
Well, let's look at some specific areas where these Asian herbs can be so helpful. Let's look at a chronic problem in America today, obesity and so on. So many people are seeking to lose weight. What
this
kind
is,
of wisdom can we gain around
this
that?
This is why I wrote the last book that I did, Feed Your Tiger, for a couple of reasons. Because we have grown so used to being ill and feeling badly, and so used to eating on the run, and so used to junk food, and so used to corn syrup and everything, for example, that we've become desensitized to our own body, to our own desires, and to our own pleasures of food. Sometimes we don't pay attention to what we're eating. And so we need an approach to health and weight loss that brings us back to a sense of wholeness, to how we need to enjoy our body again. Feed Your Tiger is an approach that takes the shame and blame out of weight loss. Too many people say, this is a bad food, or I'm guilty because I overindulged, and this is a good food, and this is bad cholesterol and good cholesterol. Well, we have to put aside those categories and think of foods in a different way. Think of a food that is going to be a slimming food for us, a healthy food for us, that is crisp, fresh, light, delicious, crunchy. And then you're going to start to think of foods in terms of pleasure and health, and you'll be attracted to foods that will bring you there.
Okay, that is actually not exactly the clip we were looking for, but I still want to go back to the lymphatic drainage and just the system in the body that I think is key to our health and how do we get toxins out of the body. So, Letha, on this disc that we have today as a premium, this interview, I want you to sort of repeat what we discussed as how to do this kind of massage that is very simple and that we can take care of.
This is something that I sort of led us through as you're listening, as you're driving in your taxi. You can do this as long as you don't crash into anybody. Or if you're sitting at home watching television or listening to the radio and hopefully thinking about your budget so that you can help support BAI. This will help you to clarify your senses and get rid of some of the impurities that could make you sick, because we collect a lot of emotions in our body, in our water retention. Mm-hmm. We collect fatigue. It slows us down if mm-hmm. we are carrying around too much lymphatic fluid or too much water in our body.
Mm-hmm.
And women especially feel this before their period. They might feel a little logy or depressed or a little bit sort of obsessive about something,
mm-hmm.
thinking about things that just sort of weigh them down.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very simple kind of a movement, a massage that you can do in your bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
I do it, and I use seaweed water.
Mm-hmm.
I get seaweed, fresh, pure, clean seaweed from theseaweedman.com,
mm-hmm.
and I use a kind of kelp, which tones the thyroid and speed your metabolism,
mm-hmm.
and it's full of iodine, and iodine is what we need to get the body to detoxify faster.
Okay.
Iodine tones our metabolism, and I put the seaweed into a jar of water,
uh-huh.
and in a couple of hours, the water becomes slippery because all the minerals from the seaweed have gone into the water. And you can use this instead of a lotion, instead of soap, and just very gently massage this into your skin after your bath,
uh-huh.
and you feel energized. It clears your skin,
uh-huh.
and it clears your senses. So we're going to start. You want to go through this whole thing about
the massage? Just very short, the very
the
short
face?
Version.
How
yeah.
about the face?
The face would be fantastic.
The face is great because if you collect water in your face and impurities in your face, you're just going to feel heavy and
a little puffy.
Yeah. And we put our first face forward, our best face forward anyway, so this is a way of looking at yourself in the mirror, feeling brighter and more with it, more present and more ready for the day.
Uh-huh.
And you can do this before you apply makeup and instead of a moisturizer, because you won't even need a moisturizer with this kind of the minerals from the seaweed. So you first take some of this liquid and put it on your hands and then rub it over your face gently and your neck. And now we have to open up an area where the lymph fluid is going to go, and it's right on top. This area is right on top of the collarbone. And what we're going to do is take the outside of your hands, like your little finger, and you put the palm of your hands on top of your collarbone, and you're going to, as though you're making a ditch, you're making room. You're going to be pushing up and down above the collarbone to make a space, to make like you're digging a hole there for the water, for the lymph fluid to go into. You're not doing anything hard. You're not doing anything that's uncomfortable, but you're making space for that fluid to flow into, as though you're opening the door for that fluid. And then you take your hands, your fingers, very gently, and you sweep down from your forehead down to your temple. The pressure of your hand is no heavier than if you had a dime on your face. So it's not a heavy pressure. It's a very light stroking pressure from the middle of your forehead down to your temples and then under your eye. And then every movement that you make on your face is towards your mouth, because you want the fluid to flow down through the lymphatic system, down the sides of your face to your mouth, and then in front of your ear, and then down your neck. Some people have swollen lymph glands. I'm sure if you're out in the city a lot and you're breathing pollution, you might have some swollen lymph glands right under your chin and right under your jaw. So move that area very gently down to just above the collarbone where we created the space. So you can do this for 5 minutes, and it's going to be relaxing, and it's going to take the puffiness and the water retention out of your face.
Well, that's great because, I mean, we didn't get to hear on the actual CD disc that we have, the two CD
interview.
We do
the whole body.
The whole body, which is fantastic. And basically, you're just going from the head down towards the stomach and from the legs up towards that groin area,
mm-hmm.
and just trying to get this out. But Kathy Davis is here now.
Yay.
And she's going to tell us a little bit about our premium.
Yes, yes. I'm so happy to be here to speak with you again, Letha. Yeah, this is a really very special premium because it's self-empowering. And if you want to pledge for those two CDs, you can do that by donating $50 to WBAI and calling 212-209-2950. And it is, it's more than an hour interview. I think it might be about an hour and a half interview. And it's very practical. You're going to get information that you can use listening to the CD. And the CD also goes very well with the book. You have all of the references in the book, Feed Your Tiger, The Asian Diet Secret for Permanent Weight Loss and Vibrant Health by Letha Hadady. And the book and the two CDs together can be yours for a pledge of $155. If you want the book alone, that's a pledge of $150. So, of course, the best opportunity to make a difference for yourself would be to pledge for that package at 212-209-2950. We got two calls coming in right now. We need for you to join those two callers to make a pledge of support for WBAI. And we know that many of you do tune into the Open Center on the second Friday of the month, and you hear Ralph White. Ralph is the person who conducted this interview.
He's our host, yes.
And he's the host of the program. So please do call in support of the program that comes to you every time with something interesting, life-changing, really revolutionary information, just as this program is for you. And we're featuring Letha Hadady's book, Feed Your Tiger, The Asian Diet Secret for Permanent Weight Loss and Vibrant Health. We would like to continue the interview because Letha is right here, but we need to fill up the board before we can go back to our interview. And we have premiums for you to pledge at two financial levels. For those of you who can pledge at the $50 level, you'll have these two CDs. You can take your time listening to it. You can listen to it again. You can share it with your friends and family. It's a real opportunity for you to have the encouragement of Letha's voice at your fingertips, explaining to you how to what steps you can take to really change your life. And a lot of us, certainly I do, have had lifelong dietary issues and lifelong weight issues, you know, gaining weight, losing weight, gaining weight, losing weight. And really it's a matter of truly understanding your body and how it works and understanding your body type, because what works for you might not work for your mother or your sister or your cousin or your friend. And this is a way of really understanding what it is that you need and what it is that you can do to make a difference for yourself. Please make that phone call at 212-209-2950. The book Feed Your Tiger is very, very comprehensive. It gives a lot of information, a lot of reference, and it's in four parts. And part one is your food karma, foods in you, the baseline diet, what's your energy type, get ready, get set. I guess part two is the animal you, feed your tiger, balance your dragon, soothe your bear, free your soaring crane. I love this. part three, get it off, keep it off, weight loss insurance, and a special chapter for all of us, not all of us. Certainly for me, after 40. your weight loss lifestyle, be a winner, eating out, and holiday fitness. So I would say that this book covers every aspect of your life, really, you know, your and really how to get yourself in shape. And what we're talking about is knowledge. Knowledge is what we're offering you today. Knowledge and insight into your own body. And it's based on this thousands of year old traditions and understanding. 212-209-2950 is your number to call. Remember, you have an opportunity to have the book and the two CD package for your pledge of $155. The book alone can be yours for a pledge of $150, and the two CDs will be yours for a pledge of $50. And remember that the money you're giving is to support WBAI, and we are very conscientious. We have so many wonderful producers who do enormous work bringing you every day, every week, and in the case of this program, every month, some form of enlightened material that you can use to transform your own life or to understand the life that we're in. It's all very powerful material. And this particular book, Feed Your Tiger, is based on some very ancient traditions and wisdom. 212-209-2950. Remember that we can accept your credit cards, MasterCard, Visa, American Express. If you want the full package at $155 pledge, remember you can break that up into three installments, or you can use the electronic funds transfer, which allows you to break those, have those installments come out of your account on a regular basis. Again, the number is 212-209-2950. And we have had a few people call, but don't hesitate, because we really want to get into this information, and you're going to learn a lot for this show. So please do support us on that basis alone. Remember, you can become a member at the $25 level. For those of you who love this station, love this program, and want to support us and become a member, there are so many of you who listen and don't ever become members. If you feel that there's something you've heard in this program, call and become a member of WBAI at 212-209-2950.
I just want to point out a few more things about the book. I mean, there are a variety of things that people may not realize are in this book, like banishing cellulite and other tiger challenges. I mean, you go into this, Letha, and you explain many things about ginkgo and gotu kola, mm-hmm. and how to drain, I guess, moisture in the body, a variety of things like that. There's other things. There's one thing called acupuncture massage for weight loss, mm-hmm. which is, to me, wow, and where do you get it and how do you do it? Do you do it for yourself? You have a whole section here on baseline diet.
Yes.
The baseline diet, which really has to do with the four types of...
Not exactly. The four types are on, in addition to the baseline diet.
So
now, what's interesting is there are all kinds of diet systems out there. Some people say eat more protein, and some people say eat more carbohydrates, and there are all kinds of diets out there. But there is one study. There are a couple of studies that I used that are current scientific studies that are very important. One of them is the China study, where they spent 20 years in China finding out what the people who were the healthiest ate. And that's a vegetarian diet, basically. Mm-hmm. They found that the people who switched from vegetarian to high protein and meat and fats died soon. They got cancers, and they even were able to reverse cancers by changing people's diets. And this was a study that went on for 20 years through Shanghai College of Medicine, through Cornell, and was published as the China study. And another thing that I looked at that I found very important for diet was Bernard Jensen's work in diet. The baseline diet is the kind of diet that we could all benefit from, because it makes the body more alkaline, which helps us to detoxify and get rid of not only fat but poisons. And at the same time, it makes our diet, our eating, healthier for us, because we eat less with this eight baseline diet, and we eat more carefully. Our food combinations are wiser. And it's basically this. You have your fruit separate from the rest of your food, because your fruit is going to turn into sugar and alcohol immediately in your blood, and you don't want that to interfere with the rest of your food. So breakfast might be fruit and tea. You know, and that's going to be cleansing. It's going to be stimulating. Have your fruit separate from your protein, because if you add fruit with protein, it's just going to make gas. It's going to make indigestion.
Right.
So two fruits, 6 to 9 vegetables. That could be a big salad.
Right.
One source of protein.
Uh-huh.
If it's a fish day, have fish.
Yeah,
if
right.
it's a chicken day, have chicken. If it's a tofu day, have tofu. Don't mix 5 kinds of proteins together, because that's going to confuse the body and weigh the body down. It's going to impair digestion.
Well,
so,
wait
a minute.
Yeah.
Two fruits, 6 to 9 vegetables, one source of protein and one starch.
Uh-huh.
Could be whole grain bread, could be whole grain pasta. So what that does is it takes your food, takes your meal, and spreads it out throughout the day. So you eat less and you eat wiser, because you don't mix everything together at the same time.
Right. Well, one of the things that interests me about the book is that you have four different types
yes.
of people.
Animal types, yeah.
Animal types, and uh-huh. then they referred to uh-huh. people, but the personalities
yes.
and their habits
yes.
were interesting because that's what
they
I
are.
Was interesting.
It's
like,
fascinating.
Like, describe the character of somebody who's a dragon, and
yeah.
what are they... What
yeah.
are they?
A dragon, we remember dragons from our childhood. We read fairy tales about dragons. They're important. They're mystical. They're mm-hmm. large. They sometimes fly through the air. They
mm-hmm.
spout fire. They sometimes hang out in the swamps. The person who is a dragon can be the person who is not going to lose weight until they gain energy, until they balance their energy. They have too much uncontrolled energy and too much water retention. They have
mm-hmm.
edema, and they have the illnesses that are a result of that. They could have cancer. They could have serious kinds of immune-impairing illnesses. And they could have depression, they could have borderline depression, because they have slow metabolism. They don't process information or food as quickly as some of the rest of us,
mm-hmm.
who are more hyper, like a tiger,
right.
loves to leap, loves to hunt.
Right.
So they need energizing foods that are going to protect their immunity. And some of the most balancing foods on the planet for them are mushrooms, medicinal mushrooms. They will protect you against cancer, but they'll also help to balance autoimmune illnesses. Seaweed is another one. Often the dragon likes the overweight person who has lifelong overweight and water retention, edema,
right.
Or edema after an illness, after pregnancy. They crave salt, and they crave junk food. So a good salt to have would be seaweed.
Well, what about the crane and the bear?
They're different. The bear, the bears that I know are either grizzly bears or teddy bears. They all have a sweet tooth. They all have a tummy.
Uh-huh.
And for them, you have to give them a couple of herbs that is going to curb that sweet tooth. Like, if you can't go throughout the day without one or two pastries, you have a sweet tooth.
Okay.
And Gemma sylvestra, is an herb that will support your digestion, especially your pancreas, and reduce the sweet craving. It's an herb. It's a leaf that comes from India, but it's available in our health food stores. It's spelled G-Y-M-N-E-M-A. I go into detail about each of these different types,
mm-hmm.
the dragon, the bear, the tiger,
yeah,
and the crane, in the book Feed Your Tiger, along with the personality type, the addictions that they have, and the diet that's the best for them, not just for weight loss, but to maintain health.
I think that's the main goal of the book.
It's mm-hmm. to maintain health.
To maintain, because you also have these things that show up that I don't know, like tree sap for cholesterol, the cholesterol.
Oh, Gugul.
Yeah.
That comes from India. It's wonderful. If you walk through the forest and you walk by pine trees and you love the smell of pine trees, you probably are smelling myrrh, which is a tree sap also that comes from an evergreen. Gugul comes from an evergreen. It's a tree sap. But when we take it as a medicine in our body in a capsule, Gugul, it gets rid of your fibroids and your fat and your cholesterol.
That's
it
amazing.
Really detoxifies the body the way myrrh does, only it's even stronger for weight loss.
Fantastic.
Are these herbs readily available?
Yes, they are.
Gugul, that's
not
amazing.
Not just online, but
mm-hmm.
here in New York, you go mm-hmm. to Little India, and which is like either in Queens or Lexington, 28th Street, you find
mm-hmm.
them very easily because we sell a lot of herbs from Asia in New York. And if you're listening and you're not in New York, you can get it online also.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to my website, AsianHealthSecrets.com, and when I write an article about something, you can search for weight loss, and a lot of articles will come up. And you can order, because I often link in my article to sources where you can buy stuff.
Well, you have a lot of resources in the book itself.
Yes.
Which is
yes.
very important.
And the tape that we made when we
exactly.
talked to Ralph White, we talked to about a lot of health issues and beauty issues too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very nice interview. I enjoyed talking to both of you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
you.
Wonderful. I noticed also in the book you talk about weight loss and depression, and I know that there's a really strong link there, and it's sometimes it's hard
people.
To know which
for
came
women.
First.
Yeah, for women.
So
how do
we make that connection to defeat the depression and the weight loss?
You don't have to pick both. You can work on one. You can work on either a remedy for depression, and you'll probably crave healthier foods as you get less and less depressed. Or you can work on detoxifying the body and losing water weight and losing excess fat. And that's going to make you feel more and more positive. So just choose one.
Mm-hmm.
And for the dragons, the ones with water retention, the people who feel like they're overcome by their environment and they're just weepy all the time, they're crying even when they watch a commercial on television, there's a good homeopathic remedy called Pulsatilla which I recommend. And it's interesting. It's an interesting remedy because it's not just for edema, for water retention, but also what helps to keep our hormones in good balance, too. And there are some women who are infertile. They cannot have children either because they're too slim or they're too heavy. And so we need to bring the body into better balance. I found that you have to treat the emotions directly. You can't just say, well, I'm going to lose weight and everything's going to be fine. Because if you keep eating the wrong things because you're depressed or nervous, you have to treat that directly with a simple remedy, mm-hmm. and then everything is going to get better. Like there are nervous eaters that out there who just can't stop eating because it settles their anxiety, they think. But it doesn't really. But they think so. And so if you take a remedy for being scared about what could happen or being anxious. And heaven knows with the stresses that we live under, this is a very useful remedy. So in the book Feed Your Tiger, there are simple remedies that your readers and your people who support BAI are going to learn about because it's in the book they're going to get when they donate to BAI.
That's right. And we've been doing a lot of work here at WBAI with people who have diabetes and hypertension.
Right.
And I'm wondering
how
you advise people to approach that. And I'm wondering if there are any herbs or things that they can take and shouldn't take.
Oh, yeah.
They are in the book, yeah.
For diabetes, if there's a problem with sugar, anytime there's a problem with sugar, it's always better to avoid the very sweet foods, even carrots and beets, which are very sweet, and go more towards the bitter greens, the salads and the foods that are going to take water retention out of the body. You'll lose water retention, and you'll balance your blood sugar with a few simple foods, and one of them is available in Chinatown or in your health food store, and it's called, in India, it's called Karela. In Chinese Chinatown, it's called bitter melon. It looks sort of like a cucumber, only it has deep grooves in it, and it's bitter, and they serve it in restaurants. It lowers your blood sugar for diabetes, and a lot of people like the taste of it. I know my neighbor from Trinidad loves it. Every time I go to Chinatown, I bring her back some bitter melon, and I found in a store recently Karela powder, which was dried and powdered bitter melon that you just add water, and it makes a tea. It's a very favored food also in Jamaica and in the islands. So the same food, even though it has different names, grows anywhere in the tropics. And women who are smart know that they can take this, and it detoxifies the body. It's good for weight loss, for clearing the complexion, and for getting rid of their inflammatory female issues too, like PMS. So a lot of times our grandmothers knew this, but we've forgotten. So this is why I was interested and became interested in Asian medicine also, because it's an old tradition that's still with us. If you go to a food market, whether it's Upper West Side or Chinatown, you're going to find some unusual foods that have great use. Like, for example, if you have arthritis, you might be a tiger or you might just have arthritis. Tigers tend to have more arthritis. A good food for them is yucca. Mm. And yucca, you'll get in any of the Puerto Rican or Cuban restaurants. And it works for arthritis because it's estrogenic. It helps us to have more estrogen. But it also makes our joints slip around much better. You know how your joints get kind of creaky and achy and swollen? This is very good for arthritis, the cooked yucca.
I never actually heard that before.
Oh, sure.
Because I thought potatoes and it's not a potato.
No, it isn't. No,
it's something completely.
No,
just the root.
It's a century plant. It's mm-hmm. like the yucca that grows wild in the desert. It's a whole different plant. It's not a potato.
Hmm. I noticed in your book also that you have some remedies that are herbs. In some instances, you recommend foods, and sometimes you recommend homeopathic remedies.
Yes.
Can you
yes.
make that distinction for people and what they should go to at what point?
It's in the book, basically, mm-hmm. because every type, whether it's a dragon, which is either what's sometimes called obesity or sometimes just called edema or water retention, that's the dragon. The person that is going to need to build energy before they lose weight, they need a certain remedy. The bear is the person with a sweet tooth and might be a nervous eater. The tiger is the person who likes spices, they're a food adventurist, and they sometimes get allergies and headaches because of their adventures in food. And the crane is the person that would rather smoke or work than eat. They need to be grounded. They need to be nourished. So those are the four energy types. And they tend to have different kinds of addictions. Mm-hmm. And there are remedies for those addictions. Foods are not always enough. Sometimes a person like the crane, they're not going to eat food anyway. So they might need a remedy that they can stick in their pocket, and they're going to be less nervous. Like homeopathic gel simium is for the person who's anxious all the time, mm-hmm. and they're exhausted, and they'd rather do anything but what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be doing their homework, but instead they call their friends because they're just
too
nervous.
Which one is this?
That's a nervous remedy, and it could be any mm-hmm. of us. And homeopathic gel simium will work for them. The nervous eaters tend to be either the tigers, or it could be anybody, basically. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of remedies that would work for any of the types, but it depends on the kind of addiction you have. Do you eat more when you're nervous, when you're depressed, when you're exhausted? There are good remedies for each of those.
Well, this strikes me as being so much more than a diet book.
Oh, yeah. It's a book about lifestyle.
Yeah, this is wonderful. Yeah. Araceli, you wanted to?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, we were talking with Letha, and I want to play another excerpt if we can get this one, on raw foods that Letha speaks about, and we want to go to that right now.
Let me address different kinds of herbs that I
yes.
recommend for different kinds of prevention of different kinds
yeah,
of illnesses.
Please do, yeah.
For example, heart is a big issue, heart trouble, heart congestive heart problems and heart attack is a big issue, especially in New York. It's a big stress issue.
Mm-hmm.
So hawthorn is a very useful herb that you can take with your tea. Hawthorn, H-A-W-T-H-O-R-N. Now, that's a berry that grows wild in New England. And women in New England used to make jelly and jam out of hawthorn berry jelly. But it's also an herb that comes in capsules in your health food store. You can take this capsule, hawthorn, take it with your tea in the morning or with meals, and it reduces your cholesterol and it strengthens your heart muscle. Now, something from India that's a wonderful tonic for the heart, the best tonic for the heart also, is called Arjuna, A-R-J-U-N-A. It's a tree bark. It's astringent. It means it takes that excess liquid that's congesting in your heart and strengthens your heart muscle so that your heart is strong enough to get rid of that congestion, get rid of that liquid that's going to kill you. So it strengthens the heart muscle so that the heart works well. Hawthorn and Arjuna work very well together. So there are combinations of these that are available. And go to my website, AsianHealthSecrets.com, and just search for heart care, for example. Mm. Heart care is a combination that is very useful for people with heart trouble or congestive heart trouble. And this is a problem that a lot of overweight people have, people who eat too richly and have a sedentary lifestyle. And that's most of us who sit and look at our computers all day.
Yeah.
We're endangering our heart. Mm. I knew a man who had heart failure. And he was in his 70s, and he went to the doctor, and the doctor kept saying, well, what happened? Did you get a virus? Did you get sick? Why do you have this congestive heart trouble? He tested him up and down to try to find out why he developed the heart trouble in 1 year. And he said, no, it hasn't been 1 year. It's been 50 years of sitting at my desk and not exercising. And eating sweets and the kind of things that we all do. So I recommended for this man, he couldn't take the drugs that the doctor recommended. The doctor said, if you don't take these drugs, you're going to die in 5 years. I mean, this was really a really between the eyes kind of warning. Mm-hmm. And the man tried to take the drugs, but he got a terrible allergic reaction and he couldn't take them. So I recommended a couple of herbs from India and China. Hawthorn was one. Arjuna was another. Gugul, G-U-G-G-U-L, which is like myrrh. It strengthens the heart muscle also. And something called heart care from made by Himalaya, which is a whole combination of herbs for your heart. And his echocardiogram was normal the next year. It went down from practically dead, like half the functioning that he needed to live, to normal because of these herbs. So an Asian approach is more supportive in that it stimulates your body to work for itself. Mm-hmm. If he had taken those drugs that the cardiologist recommended, and I'm not recommending that you ignore your doctor altogether because those tests are really quite valid, but if he had taken those drugs, he practically didn't need a heart. The drugs would have taken over the function of his heart, one of them to inhibit an enzyme and another one to normalize the heart rhythm and so forth. It would have supported the heart, but it would have limited his vitality. Mm-hmm. And instead, he took herbs to strengthen his own organ that was weak, his own heart that was weak, and therefore to turn around the illness naturally.
Right. Now, what about people who are taking medications?
They can take herbs at the same time, mm-hmm. because herbs are accepted like foods in the body. And you shouldn't give up seeing your doctor, and you shouldn't give up your yearly exams or your bi-yearly exams, because they're an important aspect of your maintaining your health. Mm-hmm. And some medicines are useful, but there's a long way to go.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive. Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech
alive. He was in medical school, and he had an operation on his aorta, and it failed. He practically died on the operating table, mm-hmm. and because of that, he had had strokes, hemorrhagic strokes, mm-hmm. and everyone gave up on him. It was like it's all over. They said, "Well, he's gone. His heart stopped for 25 minutes." And
you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. As I Please with Simon Lukely will not be broadcast this week. I think he'll be back next week, and we'll continue this health special.
He recovered. He heard them. He was in a coma for a couple of weeks, and he heard the doctors talking about him.
Finish the story.
He was angry that they were talking about him in the past tense, like he had died. Mm-hmm. And they were pinching his toes to try to make him respond, and he wanted to tell them, "Stop, you're hurting me." And he came back. A year later, he has recovered, and now he's working as a doctor in Bellevue in mm-hmm. occupational therapy to help people who are suffering strokes. And he's an osteopath. And now this indicates, and the head doctor who was taking care of him in the hospital said, "We are still learning about how the brain works. We don't know. We have given up on people who've had strokes too soon." Now, when I was in China, I saw people who had had strokes who were treated with acupuncture, who were revived within 6 weeks. Mm. They get all their functions back. They could talk. They could swallow. They could eat. They could move. And this was brought about faster with acupuncture.
And that was Letha Hadady, the author of Feed Your Tiger, The Asian Diet Secret for Permanent Weight Loss and Vibrant Health.
Yeah, this is the New York Open Center Show. This is Araceli Brown. We are here with Letha, our certified acupuncturist. And, of course, we have our premiums today. Feed Your Tiger, The Asian Diet Secret. It's $150. And we also have a 2-CD interview with Letha, which we just heard an excerpt on with about the heart. With Ralph White, and that's $50. For a combination of both, you can give us about $155 for Feed Your Tiger, The Asian Diet Secret, and the 2-CD set interview with Letha.
In Feed Your Tiger, the section that really treats the heart issues the most is the dragon, because when you're overweight, you have heart issues. Mm-hmm. Your body has to work harder to work because of all the excess water in your body. Mm-hmm. See, we're mostly made of water. Everybody has the same number of fat cells in the body. Even though you might be slender and I might be heavy, we have the same number of fat cells, but because I'm heavier, my fat cells are full of water. And that's why the reducing water retention in the body can detoxify the body, help us to lose weight, but also take the stress off of the heart. Mm. So that's why the dragon has to work harder to lose weight, because they have the excess water, and that's why the dragon also has the challenges to their heart.
You were saying a while ago, Lita, that people in New York have a high incidence of heart disease.
In the country, statistically, we have more heart trouble here than anywhere else, and it's probably the stress and maybe the pollution. I was surprised to hear that among the 15 counties where cancer is the highest, New York is not. Mm-hmm. Although the Bronx is pretty high on the list for lung cancer, but the worst is Mississippi, mm-hmm. and it might be the dumping and the pollution and the chemicals that they use in agriculture, but it also might be a fat diet, mm-hmm. Because there's been a lot of connections made between diet and cancer, especially in recent studies, and also there have been connections made between cancer and female hormone replacement. This is a big issue for women, mm-hmm. too. So there's a lot we have to pay attention to, our diet, and even foods that are estrogenic. A lot of people don't know this. There are some foods that can, if you have an active cancer that's estrogen-dependent, you should avoid eating. And I talk about that in Feed Your Tiger also, like mm-hmm. licorice tea. That's a problem for some people because it's estrogenic. Hmm. It makes more estrogen.
That's fascinating. I wouldn't have known that. I have something came up for me as you were speaking, when you were talking about some people are getting sick because their diets are toxic, and some people, you know, because of their weight. But is there any way that we can cope with the many poisons that are in our environment and are in our food?
That's a big question, yeah. Because there are pesticides that farmers use that are even okayed by the FDA that are still quite dangerous. And in my recent cooking class at New York Open Center, I shared something from Feed Your Tiger, the book that mm-hmm. Your listeners are going to get when they contribute to BAI. It's something very simple that I do in my kitchen when I buy fresh produce, and it's a way of at least comforting myself that I'm getting some of the pesticides off of the foods that I eat. Mm-hmm. And that is, I'll rinse them in a lot of water, one drop of a very pure soap that's either a Castile soap or not a toxic soap, but I have some of my favorite soaps that I mentioned, one mm-hmm. made by commonsensefarms.com. It's made with essential oils. So one drop of soap and vinegar, because the vinegar in the water is going to reduce the oil-based pesticides. And then you rinse it off with lots of water. So what you're doing is you're loosening the pesticides from that fruit or vegetable, and then you're rinsing it off with water.
Very good, very good. And I had heard that toxins generally store in the body in fat. So if people are overweight, they're probably carrying around a lot of toxins as well.
You know, I think we ignore something really important. It's not just toxins that we hold in fat, but it's also our emotions and our experience. Mm-hmm. The dragon is the person who has lived a lot, has felt a lot, and has kept that as private information in many cases. They might be a person that can transform their emotions and their experience into art, but they might also transform that into an emotional turmoil. So if we know ourselves better and we know our own limitations, we have an advantage. I start every section of Feed Your Tiger addressing that energy type as though it were someone I loved or someone who was a friend. And for the dragon, I wrote that section about how to be healthy as though I were writing for my sister, who I love very much and who I don't see often enough. And she put on some weight after having cancer. A lot of women get extra weight after taking antidepressant medicines, after being ill, after being pregnant. And it's just something that they have gained too much because they became weak and exhausted. So I told her, I told this dragon and any dragon who is reading the book, when it's time, when you've had enough work, when it's time to quit, tell the people around you, I'm tired, I need to rest. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the dragon will go and go and go and have three businesses going at once and marriages and divorces and kids and a lot of exhausting work, and they don't know when to quit. And so they eat because they feel that they're going to get stronger from food, but they don't have the energy to digest.
There is one thing that I want to point out about this book, and one of the things is you have a lot of superfoods, a lot of them that I certainly would know. You have a section here on Native American miracle herbs for diabetes and weight loss.
Gemma is one. Yeah.
And defatted fenugreek seeds.
Right.
Which
fenugreek.
Was fascinating to me.
Uh-huh.
And it goes on throughout the book because there's it goes on. It's tremella, which is another, I've never heard of that, weight loss fungus.
Yes, it's a white fungus.
Yeah, so it's just one of the, I think the main thing right now that's going on, and I guess in a lot of natural health food stores, is the mushrooms. That's like a big superfood right now.
It is, and it's really quite wonderful because mushrooms, medicinal mushrooms that grow on a decaying tree, can take the radiation and the pollution in the air and transform it into good health.
Mm-hmm.
They grow on a decay, but they themselves are very healthy. The mushrooms themselves are very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
They are rich in something called polysaccharides, which is a molecule that can help prevent cancer, heart trouble, and even inflammatory arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
So when we take these medicinal mushrooms as a food, we are taking something from nature that helps our body to be stronger and more balanced.
One of the things that I found interesting also in your book is, you know, it's difficult for people sometimes to make these changes.
Oh, yeah.
All of us
sure.
want to do it.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, we try to incorporate this into our lives. And
I would say that most people are unwilling to change their diet. Most people are saying, well, I grew up eating this my whole life, and I like it and I want it. So for them, I give them a simple remedy. It might be a homeopathic remedy or an herb.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody listening to us can do one simple thing. Whether it's, if it's not changed their diet, maybe they can take an herb, take a pill, or they can take a homeopathic remedy, and they're going to start to feel different. And when that happens, they're going to be encouraged. And then they can look a little deeper, go a little further, look, read more in the book, Feed Your Tiger.
Well, there is a lot in this book, and I especially noticed the recipes. So you don't leave people on their own of taking that step. You know,
here's a real simple recipe for people who like pie but don't want sugar. I make sugarless pies at home.
Wow.
And it's real simple. I buy a prepared pie shell because I'm too lazy to make my own pie shells. And I don't want to use butter anyway. I don't have butter in my home. It's too fat, and it's too congesting. So I'll take a prepared pie crust, or if I want to make my own, I have a simple recipe for that. Anyway, I cut fruit into this pie shell, and I add a little bit of instant tapioca pudding powder, and I might add a little lemon juice, and then maybe some spices like cardamom powder, which is a nice, tasty spice that's kind of sweet. And I'll cover it over with aluminum foil, and I'll bake it at 420 degrees for an hour, and there's the pie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fast, and there's no sugar, no salt, no butter. Those are already three things that add to our weight.
That's really amazing. For those of you who are listening and are fascinated by this dialogue, or if you've just tuned in, you're listening to WBAI Radio, 99.5 FM, and on the web at WBAI.org. And we're featuring the book Feed Your Tiger, The Asian Diet Secret for Permanent Weight Loss and Vibrant Health. We're speaking with the author, Letha Hadady. And Letha is an alternative health expert. Acupuncture is the adjunct faculty for Beth Israel Medical Center School of Nursing at New York Open Center and Academy for Healing Nutrition in New York. A natural health beauty columnist for New Living Magazine in the USA and Heal India Magazine in Delhi, and frequent guest expert on talk radio and national television, as well as radio stations such as WBAI. Her website is AsianHealthSecrets.com, and we're asking you to make a pledge to WBAI to support this radio station, but we feel that you would be also yourself be supported by being able to use and having the motivation to use this material. If you can make a pledge of $50, we'll offer you the 2-CD interview with Letha Hadady conducted by Ralph White, and we've heard a few excerpts from that. If you'd like to pledge for the book itself, that is a $150 pledge of support for WBAI. And if you'd like to have the book and the two CDs, you can do that by pledging $155. 212-209-2950 is your number to call. We have one caller on the line, and we have had some callers coming through over the last hour and a few calls while we were speaking, but really now is your time to call if you're listening, have been listening, and you want to have this material. Please make that phone call at 212-209-2950. Remember that you can use your credit cards, MasterCard, Visa, American Express, electronic funds transfer if you want to break your payment up into installments. If you like, you could ask for an invoice. And actually, you can pay in installments, up to three installments, however you choose to pay your pledge. Again, we're talking to Letha Hadady about the book Feed Your Tiger, The Asian Diet Secret for Permanent Weight Loss and Vibrant Health. And I think we have to think of this diet much more expansively than I did when I first looked at the cover, because we're not talking about going on a diet.
Right.
We're talking about the diet that will empower your life, the way of eating, understanding the herbs, understanding the homeopathic remedies that you might take to give yourself a boost, understanding your